Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. On this blessed Sunday, this is Brother Nate with another God's Word to Man broadcast. And once again, I am grateful to Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, who's given me the opportunity to share the gospel of Jesus Christ again with you. I thank God for all you listening to the broadcast. And once again, it doesn't matter what part of the world you're listening to the broadcast at. It doesn't matter what nationality, color, race, or gender you are. I want to welcome you to another God's Word to Man broadcast. The phone number is 323-870-3403. That's 323-870-3403. Now, if you have any prayer requests, any comments, any questions about the lesson, call me at this number, 323-870-3403. The phone lines will be open at all times throughout the broadcast. For those of you that don't like doing it over the air, contact us at the email address at godswordtoman@gmail.com. That's GODSWRD2MAN@gmail.com. Once again, whatever the Lord gives unto us, that is what we give unto you. Glory be to God. So once again, thank God for another blessed day. Wherever you listen to me at, hey, won't you join in with me in prayer? Let us pray. Most gracious God, once again, we humble ourselves on this blessed day. In Jesus' name, and give you all the glory, honor, and praise. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the opportunity you've given us to assemble together once again. And our petition to you is that your spirit will be with us as we take this journey into your word. Father, I pray that you will fill me with your spirit. Lead me by your spirit as I do this broadcast, word my mouth to bring glory and honor to your name, and to help me rightly divide your word unto those that are listening. I pray that those that are listening who are seeking your face with truth shall find it. In the name of Jesus. And Lord God, I give you all the glory and honor and praise in Jesus' name. I pray, amen and amen. Glory be to God. Once again, on this blessed Sunday, I'm grateful to the Lord Jesus Christ for such an opportunity to be able to come before you with the word of God. I want to inform those of you who are first-time listeners to this broadcast that I will be not only speaking scriptures from the Bible, but scripture from two other books that contains the Word of God that goes with the Bible, called The Word of the Lord and the Record of Nephi. And if after you would listen to this broadcast, you would go back to listen to part one of this series, The Wrath of Satan, I point you to where to listen to on Blog Talk Radio to give you more information about these two other books that contain the Word of God that goes with the Bible also. Amen. So I wanted to alert any of you who are first-time listeners that when you hear me say I'm coming with a scripture from Record of Nephi, I'm coming to scripture from the Word of the Lord, and you're going, what is he talking about? That's what I'm talking about. Amen. So I have been coming in this series of scriptures from the Bible, the Word of the Lord, and the Record of Nephi. Amen. Praise be to God. So tonight we are on part three, The Wrath of Satan. And I once again want to say that, you know, the Lord gave me to give the word on this. This is actually in connection with a couple of series I've done before this, the one called The Lord's Day and The Wrath of God. And one of the reasons, like I said, I'm doing this because the Lord had given for me to do it. Another reason is that the Lord wants his people informed in this time that we're living in. And I have brothers and sisters in Christ who I love, but there have been a teaching on a thing that says we can be gone any day now. Christ can come any day and get us. And which that is not scripture. And there's been a teaching where that when you talk to some believers about how we need to prepare in the faith and do whatever the Lord has given us to stand in this time before Christ come, there are some believers who allude to, you know, true believers being gone and not having to go through the great tribulation. And they say to that, the great tribulation, the saints of God would not have to go through it. They're going to be raptured up because the Lord God has not appointed us to wrath. However, I do agree with that the Lord has not appointed us to wrath because that is in the book of Thessalonians, and that's true. But however, what the Lord wants his people to understand, the great tribulation is not the wrath of God. The great tribulation is not the wrath of God. Think of it. Right now, we have been going through types of tribulations right now. Okay? Do you feel it's God's wrath? And I'm talking to you as a Christian. Do you feel that it's God's wrath through the tribulations you've been encountering now and trials? Do you feel that it is God's wrath being poured upon you? Well, emphatically, your answer more or less would be no. So how is it that as Christians we're saying that the great tribulation is the wrath of God? The great tribulation is not the wrath of God. Excuse me. We looked at a couple of series before that was titled The Lord's Day that I did. We saw when the wrath of God was going to be displayed. It's going to be displayed on the day that he returned. In one part, he's going to gather his people that day, but in another part, he's going to release his wrath. And the word of God tells us who he's going to release it on. You know, the proud, the haughty, the lofty, the sinner, the wicked, you know. So the wrath of God is displayed during the Lord's day. The great tribulation is a displaying of the wrath of Satan. And this is why I've been doing this, because God wants his people to see there's a difference between the wrath of God and the wrath of Satan. The wrath of God comes upon the unbeliever, the sinner, the wicked, okay, the proud, the lofty, the high, haughty, the high-minded, upon them. The wrath of Satan is going to come against the people of God, and that's what we've been looking at. So tonight, we are on part three tonight of the wrath of Satan. And we're living in this end time now, and I have to say that pre-tribulation rapture has been preached and taught more than I've ever seen in my life. You know, back in the days, I used to hear about it at times, but I say over the last 10 to 12 years, I have heard more preaching and teaching on the rapture, the pre-tribulation rapture, than I've ever heard before in my entire life. And I know that's because people are sensing that we're coming to what the word of God shows us, the time where the Antichrist would arise, and he's going to do his thing, especially against Christians. And you have some Christians who say, hey, I ain't got what it takes to stand there. So now they're holding to this, we can be gone any day now, snatched up, raptured at any time. However, even though I wish that was true, the word of God shows differently. Yes, Thessalonians tell us, or Paul tell us, that as he was talking to the Christian at Thessalonians, he did say, we should be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. But however, he did not say nor showed us that we were to be caught up before the, quote, great tribulation, or that we are to be caught up before the Antichrist is revealed on this scene. Because you have to think back to the early church. In their time, the early church had their great tribulation. In their time, they faced, quote, their Antichrist in their time, okay? So if the Lord Jesus Christ permitted them to endure that, why is the latter-day church any better than the early-day church? Because if that were to be the case, that would make God a respecter of persons. Why would he let the early day church go through for the faith, being beheaded, being put on the torture rack, being burned in the middle of the village alive in the stake, being thrown in the gladiator rings to the animals? Why would he let, quote, the early church go through that? Their great tribulation time and the time of the rise of the Antichrist in their day, and this Latter-day Church become exempt? Why is it that right now, in these other countries now, we have missionaries who are taking the gospel to these other countries who gods are either Buddha or Hindu or all types of demonic gods, and they are risking their lives, and many of them are gone over there. They've been beaten. They've been put in prison and left to die in prison. Some Christians have been beheaded over there. You name it. While we as Christians over here in the United States bathed in the sun, go on the beach, let the wind blow through our hair, able to come out here on the road in front of our houses and say, I love Jesus as loud as we can. Only thing we have to think about is someone riding by either rolling their eyes at us or looking at us like we're crazy. But don't have to worry about, for now, and I say for now, any policeman getting out the vehicle with his club and knocking you side of the head and with his partner with him, jumping and beating you before they take you to the police station. See, as Christians many times, and I've been guilty of this many times in my Christian walk too, certain things that we say or, you know, count ourselves in believing on, we have to examine the whole core through the Word of God. Because to say that any day we're going to be gone and not having to go through the Great Tribulation really is a slap in the face to the early day church and to many Christians right now that are going through in the other countries. You get what I'm saying? I mean, you look at the underground church in China, and I'm going to get ready to go into less in a minute. They have to have service underground. They got to be hidden. You know, they president back here, what, 2 or 3 years ago, put out a bounty of, if you go in American money, $1,500 just for information, and you telling them where they have a service at. Okay? Here in America, we could just go out, go to the church buildings and have service. You get that? Even though we're fast approaching a change. Now, we have been looking at concerning the wrath of Satan, and we have been looking at how that, and let's, if you have your Bible, let's go to Revelation 12, chapter 12, verse 13. Just do this with the opening verse. Won't go back into everything we've been going into. We're going to take up from there. Revelation chapter 12 and verse 13. Revelation chapter 12, verse 13. Glory be to God, as we have been looking at the wrath of Satan. And if you don't have your Bibles, hey, you know, listen along with us and take what you hear back to the Lord. And so we have been reading here in Revelation 12, including verse 12 to verse 13, about how that Satan has have come down with great wrath. And we come to understand from the original Greek word that that wrath means passion, you know, as if breathing hard. And you can understand, some of you, from people you've seen growing up or in your time right now, that there's people you see mad or angry, but when they are in wrath, you can see, you're seeing people where they so mad they breathing hard, where they in wrath mode, people. And that's the kind of mode that Satan is in, okay? He couldn't have his way. He got kicked out. He got whooped, kicked out of heaven. He's mad at God. He's mad at God's creation. And he ain't just mad. He has wrath. It's like he's breathing hard when you see him. And so we was reading here, as we go to verse 13, it said, when the dragon saw that he was cast into the earth, he persecuted the woman, which brought forth the man child. Now, we had looked at who's the dragon. We came to understand that a couple of things about this dragon that tells us who it is. Number one, we come to understand that this dragon is Satan, the Word of God. And if you go back to listen to part two and part one, you will hear about it. But the Word of God points out to us that this dragon is Satan. And the second thing it shows that not only is it Satan, it is a nation in service to Satan, which we come to understand is Rome, which involves the Roman Catholic Church. And we come to understand that here the Bible says that this dragon, which is Satan, through the Roman Catholic Church, and all those that's in cohorts with this dragon, was going to persecute the woman. Now, we talked about who the woman is. We come to understand that the Bible in Revelation mentions two women. We come to understand that when God talks about a church, he calls a church a woman. And we come to understand that in Revelation 12, verse 1, a woman that's clothed with the sun is actually the church of Christ, because the sun represents the gospel of Jesus Christ that she's clothed with. Now, there's a woman that the Bible mentions in Revelation 17, the whore that sits on many waters. That is the church of the enemy, the Roman Catholic Church. Okay? And so when it said the dragon would persecute the woman, it's not talking about Satan persecuting his own church, but Satan persecuting the church of Christ. And so we went a little deeper to talk about who is the church. Who is the church that Satan is going to persecute, had persecute, is persecute, and will be persecuting? All three tenses, people. Because in the past with the early church, that's who Satan persecuted. He's persecuting the believers today, and he will be persecuting them in the upcoming future until his time is up. So we looked and discussed and talked about who is the church. And we came to understand that the church are those who are followers of Christ. Followers of Christ. He's not going to, him with the Roman Catholic Church is not going to persecute people that's not followers of Christ. You get that? See, that's why the Pope and all of them is going to be for this one world religion, all the religions coming together. Well, Jesus said the one true belief got to be exalted is his. Well, with the Roman Catholic Church, along with Satan, they're going to say, hey, we embrace all these religions. So we come to understand that the church is those who are followers of Christ. That's who Satan is going to persecute. And then we kept on from there to look again and say, who is the church? Well, we come to understand the church also is the people who have been delivered by Christ by faith and repentance with baptism, as we saw in Acts chapter 2, okay? Not just water baptized, okay, but people that are born again, okay? Not just somebody that's, you know, quote, just affiliated. No, born-again believers. And we come to understand that those who were delivered was the same ones that Colossians chapter 1 tells us that was delivered from the power of darkness and translated into the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And so we still continue on from there, talking about who is the church that this dragon is going to persecute, not only followers of Christ, but true believers, okay? True believers. Hallelujah. And we looked in the, I brought before you a scripture from the book called The Record of Nephi, where the true believers were called Christians, okay? Followers of Christ. So Satan has, is, and will be persecuting true believers, not fake believers. Remember, you got an option and everything. So not the fake believers, not the people just talking the game and don't really believe, but true believers is who this dragon, Satan, with the Roman Catholic Church had persecuted, is persecuting, and will be persecuting. You get that? Hallelujah. That's who wrath is going to be displayed against the church, is the wrath of Satan. The dragon has attacked the woman. The dragon did. Glory be to God. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, I want to continue on, and I want to read a scripture from another one of the books that I was telling you about called The Word of the Lord, The Word of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he has sent through his angelic messenger, the Elijah, which was for to come, and one of the messages that is called the 88th message. Amen. And this message was sent out November the 17th, 1968. November 17, 1968, and we're still talking about who is the church that Satan had persecuted, is persecuting, and will be persecuted. Okay. The will be his future until his time is up. We know that he has a short time because we're told that in Revelation 12 and 12. He's doing all he can because, see, he has knowledge of his time is short. Okay? It's not like he in ignorance about having a short time and just, no, he knows his time is short. So in his mind, I'm going to do all the dirt I can. You know people like that? Or have you ever known people like that that knew they was in trouble? And something going to happen, and they tell you, say, well, I'm going to do all the dirt I'm going to do because I know I'm going to be in trouble, and they'll go do as much as that. Well, that's how Satan is. The Bible let us know he knows his time is short, and he's going to do all he can to bring as much destruction he can before his time is up. Now, who is the church? We're still talking about it. Who is the church? Well, in this 88 message, the Lord sent this message through his angel messenger, and I ask that you give your undivided attention. He says, all that be the Christ, they that are called Christians will flow together. They that be a man and his traditions will fail. So who is the church? The church are those that belong to Christ and that who is will flow together. You get that? See, right now, Christianity is not flowing together. And this is why the Lord is doing his work that he's doing in this time through his angel messenger, to bring forth a people that will flow together. That's who the enemy had, is, and will be persecuting. You get that? Now, I think it was in part two or part one, we define what does the word persecute mean. Persecute means to harass or punish in a manner designed to injure, grieve, or afflict, specifically to cause to suffer because of belief. So Satan is going to persecute, had persecuted the church, is and will be persecuting the church because, or believers, or followers of Christ because of their belief in Christ. And he's out to cause them to suffer by injuring and afflicting them. Now, does that sound like God doing it to his own people? No. No. Amen. And he's going to persecute the ones that belong to Christ. See, everybody don't belong to Christ. In fact, the Bible shows us, I think that's in Romans chapter 8, Paul said, if the Spirit of Christ, let me just read it to you because I don't want to quote it wrong. Romans chapter 8, and I want to read it to you. Romans chapter 8, verse 9. Romans chapter 8, verse 9. Romans chapter 8, verse 9. And the word said, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Now, if that was not possible for a person to not have the Spirit of Christ, then it would have been no need of Paul making such a statement. But what Paul is showing here, there's a possibility there are people that don't have his spirit. He said, if that be the case, you are none of his. So everybody's not Christ. It's not Christ's child. Now, I know that some of you have heard some ministers, some people that claim to be, quote, in the church and all that, have told you that everybody is a child of God. Well, here's my thing. I look to see, does the word of God agree? And from what I see, the word of God doesn't say that. So now your next choice would be, who do I accept, the word of God or the word of man? Well, I'm going to go with the word of God. I believe you know better. Amen. And so the word of God does not support that. In fact, The word of God show you that everyone here on earth is not a child of God. Because if they were, then Jesus saying you must be born again is in vain. And we know that Jesus did not speak anything in vain, okay? So the dragon is going to persecute those who belong to Jesus. He's going to persecute those that will flow together. See, here's the thing, and I want to lay this out straight to you. The Roman Catholic Church is not for unity among Christians. Let me go a little bit deeper. They're not for unity among true Christians. No. Because the true Christians is going to stand on the doctrine of Christ and not on the doctrine of the Roman Catholic Church. Amen. You know, just like I spoke to y'all about what the Pope, this Pope, told the guy that was raped by that priest. He said, God made you that way, and God loved you that way, and he made you that way. That's not the teaching of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ said homosexuality is an abomination in his sight. So why would he love you that way to be, love you to be a homosexual? Now, he'll love you as, you know, the person, but not as a homosexual. He don't love, in other words, he don't love no homosexual, homosexuality, that sin, that act, okay? So why would he declare in his word that's an abomination and it brings a judgment and then turn around and love you to be like that and make you like that? Well, see, that ain't the teaching of Jesus Christ. Okay? Amen. That's not the teaching of Christ. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, once again, let's let the word of God speak to us more. Who is the church? Who is the one that this dragon is going to have, is, and will be persecuting? Well, the word of God also shows us that it's going to be the ones who live, who life shows reverence for Christ and devotion to divine worshiping him. That's who the church is. That's who's going to persecute. Now you say, well, how do we know that? Well, let's go to the scriptures. 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. And let's go to verse 12. 2 Timothy chapter 3, and let's go to verse 12. Timothy chapter 3, verse 12. Now look what the word of God says. It said, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer what? Persecution. Do you see that? See, the word godly here, the original Greek word, eusebes, means piously, godly, okay? To live, all that will live godly or piously. Piously, you know, is meaning you're being devoted, amen, to worship, worshiping Christ, amen? You having reverence for him. That's what the word pious means, which that Greek word is translated godly. See, we got to understand this. Satan is not going to persecute those who won't worship Christ. He's not going to persecute those that have no respect for Christ. No, he ain't doing it in these last days. See, in the Great Tribulation, that's going to be happening. He's going to be persecuting people that worship Christ, that respect Christ, that follows Christ, that is truly born again, okay? Oh, Satan don't mind you joining a church. He just don't want you to be born again. Because he know you joining a church don't necessarily mean you saved. Now, I know some people didn't want to hear that. Glory be to God. But that's the truth, okay? He don't mind. Yeah, you go ahead and join the church. He just mind you when you start thinking about salvation. Now, that's where he has a problem. because he knows that man have to receive Christ as Lord in order for him to have a chance to be delivered. He knows that, okay? So he okay with you just getting water baptized and really not following Christ. Oh, he just, because he look at that, you know, that's dealing with mockery anyhow, okay? So he don't mind it. Now, when you get to the point where you start considering accepting Christ as Lord, thinking or, you know, looking at your life and saying, man, my life is messed up. I'm living all kind of wrong. I need, then he becomes overly worried, okay? But long as you're sitting there talking about, well, I just getting baptized, and you know in your heart you really don't have no intention of being changed, yeah, the devil say, oh, go ahead, go and join the church, okay? Go ahead, go and do your thing, you know. Why? Because he knows that you just, you know, got wet. You're not born again. Amen. He's not, once again, like I said, see, the word of God is showing us who's the church, who's he going to persecute. See, today, you got some everyone want to claim, quote, church. You got people think because they belong to a church that they say, and they automatically think they're going to bust the heavenly gates wide open. But in this day, in this time we're living in, it's going to be shown who's really believers. And it's going to become even more evident when this Antichrist rises up on this scene and presents himself to the people and show himself who he are. The actions he's going to take, especially the last 3.5 years before Christ, is going to show who the real true believers are, because they're the ones he's going to be persecuting. Mm-hmm. They're the ones he's going to be persecuting. You get that? It ain't going to be just anybody. Okay? They're the ones he's going to be persecuting. You're going to be able to see the true believers. See, right now things are kind of sketchy. You know, you got some people claiming they of God and they're not. And so, you know, with man, it's hard for him to differentiate sometimes. But the Lord lets you know that when this Antichrist fully presents himself, when he is fully revealed, and the actions he's going to take is going to point to the true believers, the action of persecution. Okay? Because the things that are going to be done is going to single out the ones who stand for Christ. You know, it's just like when you think about it, look at this vaccine mandate. Now, Biden went to pass that, and he says, if you don't take the vaccine, you're going to be responsible for your own weekly testing. We're going to hit you in the bill department. You got to pay your own bill. Okay. All this is doing what? It's singling out the ones who would not take it. It's singling them out. And see, in this time that we're living in, things is going to be revealed more and more who's really for Christ and who's not. And I'm going to tell you, even among so-called leaders in Christianity, it's going to be revealed the true ones from the fake ones, okay? Everyone that smiles and have you thinking they for the Lord is not for the Lord, for themselves. But see, the Lord is going to reveal that, amen? He's definitely going to reveal it, amen? Hallelujah. So you can rest assured that this thing is going to be unfolded. But once again, and the Lord said the same coming up on another series and so forth. I might even, you know, the Lord said the same, talk even more on this. There's some more I got to this. But Satan is going to display his wrath, being the dragon in Revelation 12, in persecuting the woman, which is the Church of Christ. Now, I pray that that has become clear to you, that our listeners who perhaps didn't really know that or fully know that. And see, this is why the pre-tribulation rapture to me is not accurate. Because you have some people, some Christians, who teach pre-trib, and they says, when the question is asked, well, if the church is going to be raptured, who's going to be left? They say, well, and this is what I heard. I've heard different things from those who teach pre-trib. They said the one's going to be left is 144,000 Jews and the weak Christians. And I was like, weak Christians? Yeah. And then another part of their pre-trib rapture is that I've heard that I've heard them say that the Holy Ghost is going to be taken from the earth during the rapture. And I'm like, now, you're really contradicting yourself. Because if you're saying that the weak Christians, or, for example, if you say that the Israel is going to be the 144,000 left, but they're going to be part of, they're going to have to get saved during the tribulation, well, how can they get saved if the Holy Ghost ain't here? Amen. How can that happen? Well, it can't. Can't get saved without the Holy Ghost, people. I mean, that's not going to work, you know. So the wrath of Satan is going to be displayed through this great tribulation period that we're in. Satan is going to display his wrath against the church, the true believers, the true followers of Christ, not against the people that wants to play games or, you know, one foot in, one foot out, straddlers, homosexual fornicators and all that, not against them. It's going to be against, okay, true believers, followers of Christ, okay, those who have respect for the Lord Jesus Christ, and they are devoted to worshiping him. See, we got the concept of love all men mixed up with accepting their teaching. Because if you look at these other religions, they do not have reverence for Jesus Christ. They don't have reverence for his lordship. They don't have reverence for his resurrection. They don't have reverence for his crucifixion. If you look at what mainly most all these religions have in common about Jesus, is those areas. Okay? The atonement, they attack the resurrection, they attack the crucifixion. So they have no respect for Christ. So if that being the case, Satan is not going to persecute them in these last days. In fact, he's going to stretch his arms open and say, come unto me, let's come together. And they're going to come unto him. So he's not going to persecute them because really he already got them. So why persecute? But who's he going to persecute is the ones that have respect for Christ, his resurrection, his atonement. That's who he's going to attack, okay? He's going to persecute and attack them, okay? That's who he's coming at, people. Like I said, once again, you know, we many of us is on this, he's just going to persecute everybody. No, he's not. Do he love the sinner? No, he don't. But he's using them until you get finished with them, then you cast them out, kill them, okay? But his wrath is definitely going to be displayed during the tribulation period. And it's not the wrath of God. And people, I'm telling you, as I talked to a sister earlier, when I say people, I'm talking about, I'm addressing this to Christians. right now, you better start getting ready in the spirit. Yes, we got to do some things, natural things we need to do and getting prepared. But the greatest in the spirit, because if you, because what's going to get ready to happen, if you don't see through what's happening now that there's about to be a turn that's not good or a ramping up of the pressure that is not good, then you're blind. You know, and I don't mean that to be funny, because what's happening now, what's going on, it's a setup. And it's a setup to persecute the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what it is. Because, see, think about it. Now when it comes to homosexuality, they don't even want you to say what the word says. There's abomination. They call that hate. Now, some of y'all may think I'm far-fetched, but, you know, just like that woman in the other country over there where I think she was in Finland or somewhere, when she sent them a text, they was at some church celebrating gay pride or something. She just sent a Romans chapter 1, and they accused her of a hate crime. Now, some of you looking at this, oh, that's in that other country, blah, blah, blah. Well, look at what's happening now, okay, here. You talk about, especially you go on TV, and you talk about homosexuality is an abomination, they accuse you of hating. So we ain't too far from that over here. You get that? We're not too far from that. But see, some of us as Christians, we are asleep. We appear, as it said, purity gone to sleep, okay? And the stuff is happening before our eyes right now, and we sleep. And for most part, we like oblivious to what's going on. And the setting up is happening, people. I don't know about you guys, but I sense it in my spirit. I sense if I can use the word, a shift, but I'm not talking about a shift for something good. I mean, we had trouble in the world for some years, but I'm talking about when you look at it, it seemed like a shift also started when they accepted same-sex marriage. I ain't saying there was no trouble before that, but it's something about legalizing abomination very open that caused a shift that wasn't good. And then now when this corona had hit, see, you're starting to see different things that's coming up that would cause a rise against the truth of God. Because when this corona got in here, and now this year, the president we have, who the people were upset because everybody ain't getting the shot, which is have affected many people that your news would not report, because we got to keep the government and the CDC on such high standards, like they are the greatest, you know. When our president saw everybody wasn't going for debate, he decided to ramp up the pressure and say, I'm going to force you to take it. But I'm not going to use the word force. I'm just going to take away your livelihood, okay? I'm going to punish you for it. And then any bill you make, I'm going to have it so that you have to pay. So you may not have no money from being fired off your job, but I'm still holding you accountable for you to pay your bill. Okay? Amen. So I'm going to, quote, force you to take the shot, but I'm going to do it without using the word force. I'm going to do it by trying to say we're trying to help get people safe, posing this on you with a punishment, okay, for a vaccine that you had to admit does not cure you, does not prevent you from catching the COVID, and does not prevent you from spreading. So why such the aura? I can see possibly if it was something that cured you or prevented you from catching it and even prevented you from spreading it. But it doesn't do any of that. And now you have went to the place where you say, hey, if you don't take it, we're going to force you to take it. Not by just coming at you and grabbing your arm and make you, but we're going to hit you in your livelihood. We're going to affect you in those areas where, hey, you had no choice but to give in. They tried other little tactics that I want to just call it out to you. Bribing or sweetening the deal. You had companies giving incentives that you never saw done for such a thing in your life. The company I work for, when the shots were first coming in, they was giving you a $10 Subway card, and there was a clinic across the street from where we work saying that you could go over there across the street at any time during your work time. You didn't even have to clock out to go take the shot. In the past, when it's something that dealt personally in a sense for the center point about you, oh, you had to clock off the clock, okay? It ain't no staying on the clock, run over there and do this and that. You had to clock off the clock. You didn't clock off the clock. You went to do personal thing. Guess what? When you came back, they called it stealing company time, and you were fired. Okay? Simple as that. But with this corona, and you wanted the folks to get the shot so bad, they was not only paying you, but letting you go over there on company time. It got to a point that even on my job, when the flu shot was opened up in October, and as long as I've been working there over 20 years, I never remember a time where they was offering you even caps to take a flu shot. They got to a point that they was heavily encouraging people to take the flu shot, and then they was offering caps if you took it. Now, people, you need to wake up, because all things ain't being done because, quote, somebody's trying to be real generous, trying to get you to do something, okay? Amen. That's what it's about. And when those tactics didn't work, because even our president said that the states was having a race with each other who can get the most people vaccinated, and he thought it was a little funny, okay? And they thought that through that means to offer you money and all kinds of goodies that more and more people going to take it, but it shocked them that not as many people took the shot as they thought would, and it was a problem. So all of a sudden, they say, hey, we got to come with some tougher stuff now. And it got to a point that doctors, some people going to the doctors and sick, doctors wouldn't even treat them. The doctors were getting punished for that? No. Doctors would say, hey, I ain't treating you because you ain't took your COVID shot. Just like that. There was doctors that wouldn't even do kidney and liver transplants because they say, hey, you ain't taking your shot, I ain't going to do it. So you willing to let a person die who needs another kidney or a liver because you said they ain't took the shot. The same shot, once again, that does not cure you, that does not prevent you from catching it, and does not prevent you from spreading it. The same shot now. But you willing to let folks die, okay, Look at how the country, this country alone, look how this country have turned into like more of a manipulative type of evil kind of way that they're doing now. And it's not of God. And that's why this mandate that the president put out, ain't no good going to come from that. Mr. President, I really hope you're hearing this message, because I'm telling you, you think it is. Ain't nothing good going to come from you literally forcing people. And you're allowing, you accuse what, Facebook of giving some fake news or something one time. You're not allowing, or you're taking a partial news given to you, because there have been people who have taken a shot, and the shot, the vaccine from it, has caused their organs to shut down. But you ain't talking about that. You're not talking about the people that while you're pushing this thing so, that who take the shot and have a bad reaction and die, you're not saying, what are you going to say to them? Okay? You act as though that, first of all, that everybody's body can take the vaccine. And none of your speeches I heard have you even addressed to what is you going to say to the people that took it and their organs shut down. You have some doctors, and it might be doing it secretly that I heard of, because someone may be afraid of their jobs, the way things are going, who are even telling some of their patients, is certain stuff in that vaccine, you don't need to take it. Now, I know if y'all knew who these doctors were, they wouldn't have a job tomorrow and wouldn't be able to work nowhere. They probably wouldn't be able to become a veterinarian and be a doctor for a horse the way you were going, because that's what you set on. Amen. I'm going to stop here tonight. I'm going to continue. I got a part four to this. But I'm just grateful for the Lord for this opportunity you've given me to give you the word of God. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, I humble myself before you this day. And I thank you, Lord, you have blessed me with your word. I thank you for helping me to rightly divide your word into those that are listening. I'm grateful that you watered the seed I've sown, that it may bring forth increase. So, dear Lord, I come and I say hallelujah and glory to the name of the Lord, my God. All glory and honor and praise go unto thee. You're worthy to be praised. And we glorify and I magnify you in the name of Jesus. So all glory and honor and praise go unto you, my Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Glory be to God. So glory be to God. Thank God for all you've been listening. The Lord say the same. Look for the advertisement tomorrow for the Wrath of Satan Part 4. Glory be to God. So. Once again, this is Brother Nate with another God's Word to Man broadcast. May God bless you. May he keep you. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless.